is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney.
We're best friends who also happen to be polar opposites.
I'm a colorful extrovert rising.
And I'm a goth introvert.
We're both curious weirdos, and we both love cats.
But that might be the only thing we have in common.
We are an acquired taste.
All right, Kathleen, I'm bringing this topic up because I know that you are a kindred spirit in this regard.
Oh, I'm excited. Okay.
I know that you also enjoy holding on to things, slash, clutter is overwhelming, and so we both sort of shove it to the side.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. So you're being very kind, Bethany, because I have a buttload more clutter than you do.
Well, I'll say this. I have less than I used to have because of what happened yesterday.
Okay.
So I was looking for this particular book that I need right now, and I know I have.
Uh-huh.
And I have not seen it since we moved. And we moved in August.
Oh, this book is your passport.
No, it's not my passport, but it's almost as important. So I was like, you know what? I have a bunch of boxes in this closet downstairs that I have not yet unpacked.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through them to try and find this book. I did not find the book.
Oh, no.
But what I did find is the following list of items.
Oh, okay.
That I moved
from
my old apartment to this new house. And if this triggers any memories, let me know.
Okay.
Here's what I found as I dug through my boxes. An empty box for my headphones.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
And I remember thinking, I should save this box in case I return the headphones.
Yeah.
Because I have this sort of grift going on.
Yeah.
Where my wireless headphones, they always, because it's like that plastic leather, vegan, fake, thin plastic leather on the earmuff part of it.
Yeah.
It starts to break apart and flake off right about the 1 year mark of me owning them.
Oh, yeah. So then you're like, hey, I'm still under warranty.
Yeah. So then I return them. I get a brand new pair.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they need to last past the 1 year mark.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
So I have that empty box.
Okay.
All right. I found a nail file with almost no grit left on it and where the grit paper is peeling away from the foam core of the nail file.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Found one of those.
Okay. Yeah. Very useful. Never. Yeah. Okay.
I found a sheet of paper that was page 3 in clearly a much longer document.
Okay, what kind of document, though?
Financial.
And you don't know where pages 1 or 2 or 4
are? Or 10,
are.
7 or 8.
Okay.
Just page 3.
Just, okay.
I found one loose cotton ball.
Oh.
Saved it.
It probably was a cat toy.
Probably was a cat toy.
Yeah.
I found an empty box of matches. I found an empty box of press-on nails. And I found an empty box of tampons. I also found an empty can of dry shampoo.
Oh, there's nothing more, Bethany, there's nothing that I hate more than having dirty hair and you pick up the dry shampoo and you press the little nozzle and nothing
comes out. And you shake it like that's going
to
do anything.
Oh, like trying to get a car to start when the battery is dead.
I remember, a brief aside, there used to be this show called, like, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Oh, I remember that very briefly. Was that MTV?
I have no idea.
Where they drop a celebrity in a very uncomfortable situation.
Yeah, I think in this point it was The Woods. We've been talking about The Woods a lot.
The Woods are a good place to be.
In theory.
Well, I mean, it's springtime.
Unless you're Heidi Montag, which is what I remember only.
Oh, God.
That there was a commercial or something of this show, and Heidi Montag was so upset because she did not have her dry shampoo.
Oh,
and at that point, I didn't know what dry shampoo was.
Oh.
So I was like, she sounds like a real uptight Miss So-and-so.
She sounds like a pill.
Then I learned what dry shampoo was, and now I got to tell you, if I was in the middle of the woods without my dry shampoo and cameras were on, girl, forget about it.
Though I think that at one period in my life last year, using too much dry shampoo and not enough showering sparked this like month-long problem I've had with scalp psoriasis.
Yeah, you should probably wash your hair
at
some point.
Yeah.
All right. I found a candle holder.
Okay.
Now, this is a candle holder that there's like a center and then four arms that come out of it that each hold a little ball.
Oh, like a little candelabra.
Yeah.
Type thing.
I found that 3 out of the 4 candle holder parts are absolutely broken. And they were broken before I packed them.
Bethany,
but I brought that.
You and I are cut from the same cloth when it comes to this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. We're cut from the same cloth that never then is made into a project.
Yeah. I mean, we've been meaning to upholster a tiny little pillow with it.
But it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
I found... I found the sheet of paper in a medical document where they list all of the languages you can request that document in. Oh. You know, it's usually like the second to last or the last page of a packet of documents. Found that.
Oh, I'm glad you hung on to that.
Sure did. I found a keychain where the keychain decoration had fallen off. So it was just a chain with a key ring, but no actual keychain.
But still very useful.
I can make something with this.
Yeah, or you can connect two pieces and make them whole again.
Look at that.
Something like that.
Lastly, I found bank statements from 2013, but no other year.
Oh, did you pull the Bethany special where you soak them in water before you shred them? That's the Bethany special.
You have to be so careful about identity theft.
I miss when we used to do this pod from Kitchen Studio NYC.
Yeah.
Because getting to go to your apartment every week was such a treat to me.
Because you got to see the chaos.
Because in some ways, in so many ways, I was like, wow, I'm not the only one. But then in other ways, I was like, wow, where did this creature come from?
In what way?
And because remember when you didn't have any paper towels?
Oh, yeah, that's right. And you still don't.
I know. But Bethany, truly, I was babysitting your cats and you had no rolls.
That's right. That's
and
right.
How does any human exist with not even just one roll
in
their house?
I'm trying to think. What do you use paper towels for?
Okay. This is so weird. Okay. Tell me if this is... Okay. So...
Safe space.
Okay, safe space. I reuse paper towels probably to the point where I shouldn't be reusing them anymore.
That seems good. That's probably good.
Yeah. Okay, like I'm going to pull this. Look, I have a little tea towel in my backpack.
Awesome.
Because I brought a bagel today for lunch with peanut butter and jelly on it.
Great.
I mean, have you ever had a bagel with peanut butter and jelly on it?
The best.
Can I derail us for a second?
Please.
There's a product. It's vegan. You and Dennis need to get into this. It's called the Better Bagel.
Okay.
Comes frozen. I get it at Whole Foods. There's like 36 grams of protein.
Where's all that protein from?
There's like 25 grams of fiber.
Jesus.
The net carbs are like 5.
Because there's so much fiber in it.
It's made from some sort of plant protein.
Sure.
Where my nutritionist is like, as long as you're not shitting your pants, like you go ahead and eat it.
I feel like that is a good caveat for a lot of things in life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
sure. You can like do this activity as long as you're not like shitting your pants.
As long as you're not shitting your pants. Anyway, so I brought my tea towel to eat with my sandwich. No paper towels.
Great.
So I've been really good about it lately. But I do this thing where like right now my acne is so bad. Aww. If you have acne, you put acne stuff on it, but then your skin just becomes so dry.
Yes.
And it's like this constant battle of like putting moisture into your skin, but then the moisture makes your skin break out.
Yep.
And then you try and clear your breakups and like my skin is hurting.
Oh.
And I know that in like two really good nights sleep, my skin will feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
I filled up 2 colloid patches.
Yeah.
2 full colloid patches with 1 cyst on my chin last night.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy. Anyway, okay. Back to paper towels.
Sure.
Because my skin gets so bad, I sometimes will dry my face with a single sheet of paper towel because I don't want any bacteria touching my face when it's in such bad shape.
Yeah.
But then I save that paper towel. Okay.
That's great.
I dry it out and then I'll dry my hands on it.
You're like a pioneer woman.
And then I dry it out again and I dry my hands on it. And then the last use will be for like I clean the toilet.
That actually, I think that's wonderful.
I get like 5 uses out of it.
That's wonderful. Also, what kind of paper towels are you buying? Because my goodness, they go through, they sustain a lot.
Yeah, I buy them at Costco. Huh. I buy them at Costco because there are times in life, like it's not reasonable to say that you're never going to use a paper product.
Right. Of course not.
Right.
Of course not. No.
So anyway.
I think that's good. And frankly, I should have paper towels at home.
Yeah.
For the time when like the cat throws up.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to use a tea. Because we use tea towels like you do. Like we have probably 30 tea towels that we just keep washing and, you know, they're covered in stains, but they're awesome and we use them for everything. We use them to wash windows. We use them to like clean the counter, wash dishes. But when it's something like my cat vomited fully undigested food onto the floor.
Yeah.
Combined with her own hair and my hair,
question mark.
Sort of like, okay, you don't want to use a tea towel for that.
Okay, so maybe also another reason that people hang on to boxes, and I know that I hang on to boxes, like your empty headphone box, is if there's a serial number on the back of it.
Wait, why?
Because I'm like, I'm going to need this serial number at some point.
Oh, I see.
Like, I recently just threw away a bunch of iPhone boxes.
Yes, I have so many.
For old iPhones. Because
yes,
I'm like,
4S.
Oh my God, I'm gonna need the serial number on the back. But like, I can just turn it on and like find everything inside the phone.
Also, here's my other problem. I only see potential. Mm. Like I'm working on a TV pitch right now with, remember John Sosis, my friend John Sosis?
Oh my God.
He and I are working on a TV pitch right now. And so we were looking for actors to put in the pitch as like, this is the type, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to put in Kieran Culkin because I thought he'd be really good at this particular role.
Oh my God, I love Kieran
Culkin.
He's
great. But John was like, that's not his type. He'd be playing against type. To do that role.
I see.
And I was like, I only see potential in him.
You only see potential.
I only saw the potential. So I only see the potential in empty boxes.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
I could wrap something in this. Maybe I sell something on eBay I can put in that empty box.
I can store things in this box.
I got a PR shipment the other day for the show, and it came in this really sturdy box with like a magnetic lid, and the box is huge, and it is currently empty, but I could put so many things in that box someday, so I'm going to save it.
I know. That is why I have a leather tassel keychain from, what is a movie that Angelina and Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt did together?
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
No, but was there another one where it was like something, it started with an A. Remember they were sending out boxes with A's on them?
Assassins.
I don't know. Anyway, I have a keychain from a promo box because I'm like, it's a good keychain. I could use it for something.
Totally. It has a letter A on it?
Yeah. Okay. I was listening to my favorite interior design podcast that I like to hate listen to.
Because they're so bougie.
Yeah, they're very bougie. Dear Alice. And they were talking about when you're a vintage lover.
Yeah.
How do you pick and choose what you put in your home?
Yeah.
Because you and I, Bethany, only see potential in things.
Totally.
But at some point, seeing potential in too much becomes overwhelming to the point where you unpack a box after living in a place for 6 months and there's an unused cotton ball.
Yeah. Because all of potential is just another word for unfinished projects.
And they were saying that if you're somebody who wants to give something a home, you have to like take a step back and visualize like in your house where it's going to go because it has to be an item that is sculptural. It can't just be a knickknack.
And damn it.
That is sort of applicable to figuring out what to keep and what to throw away.
Yeah.
When you're moving or when you're trying to get rid of stuff. I had this, you know, the blogger Oh Joy.
Absolutely not.
Yes, you do. You know, and she's got that famous bathroom in Domino magazine where it's like all of the square tiles and all the different multicolors.
Shit, I do know who that
is.
Yes,
you totally do.
Okay.
And so she has a line at Target. Yeah, I know you do.
I do know her.
She has a line at Target years ago. I bought these like two vases and it was shaped. There was a letter O and a letter K. So like, okay.
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 You're supposed to put flowers in your okay. And then you're like, oh, I'm quirky. My vases say okay.
My identifying characteristic is quirky.
Quirky. So the O broke a long time ago. And I was like, whatever. I don't care.
Because you're K.
Because I'm K.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just been like sitting around and I never use it. And I like put it on a bookshelf to style it. And the other day, my cat broke it, knocked it off the bookshelf. As cats do, they love to knock things over.
Of course.
And I was like, you know what? My cat did me a favor.
Yeah, your cat knew.
Your cat knew.
It's like my sister's cat. When they're having a party, my sister's cat will come after a while and just sit and stare at everyone so that they know it's time to leave. Your cat knew.
Meow, please go home. Meow.
Food has become even more expensive. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah.
And so if you and your family are trying to figure out how to save money on food expenses, we can help you out. Every Plate is America's best value meal kit. Every Plate is 25% cheaper than grocery shopping with no hidden fees. So you are getting value week after week.
And not only are you getting value, I've never had a bad meal when it comes to Every Plate.
No.
Because everything that they have on their menu, and their menu, trust us, is vast to choose from. There's all sorts of things, has really been delicious. And you can get more out of your cooking with something that they have called Big Batch Faves. So Every Plate's new selection of hearty meals is perfect for big gatherings. So let your slow cooker do most of the work and enjoy comfortable filling dishes like Tex-Mex black bean chili or beef bolognese.
And if you're someone who loves to get takeout because the food is hot and delicious and unlike anything you would make yourself.
Yeah, I do. I love takeout.
Totally. Every Plate is 50% cheaper than your average fast casual meal. And if you're like me and you love breakfast 24/7,
yeah,
your house can be the breakfast served all day because they have maple fig pancake stacks with cream cheese frosting and walnuts. Oh, my God.
And they have a thing called add-ons where I can add extra chicken breast to my order. So I know that no matter what dish I'm eating, I always have a quick extra protein to grab.
We've had Every Plate so many times. Dennis and I made a flatbread that was delicious. And most of the meals that I've found, you can make in under 30 minutes, which is great for me because I get bored cooking and then I get angry that it takes so long. Every Plate is the best.
You have to try it yourself. Get started with Every Plate for just $1.49 a meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and then entering the code TASTE149.
Again, get started with Every Plate for just $1.49 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering the code TASTE149.
That value is up to $110. So you and Dennis are going to Minneapolis in April. Are you going to fly?
No, we're driving because we're bringing the cat.
Oh, You guys are like such the, you're always on the road, you two.
We're only going to one place and that's Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. So the reason I'm asking you if you're flying or not is because there's this story that came out on Reddit recently about this person flying and she's like, hey, am I the asshole? And she goes on to tell the story about how she was in the back of the plane and the plane landed and you know, you're supposed to like wait for the people in front of you to exit the plane or whatever.
Yeah, it's like the wave.
Yeah, the wave.
Yeah.
And she only had a backpack. So she's like, I'm just going to stand up and walk right to the front. And people on the plane were mad at her.
Oh.
Was she an asshole for doing that?
Okay. Again, I usually have two follow-up questions.
Yeah.
So here's my first follow-up question.
Uh-huh.
Were the people, so she was in the back of the plane.
Yeah.
Were the rows ahead of her waiting in their seats but ready to deplane, or were they still kind of getting their stuff together and figuring out, so they weren't yet ready to like proceed down the aisle?
They weren't yet ready to proceed down the aisle.
Okay.
So she kind of just stood up and made a beeline for it.
Okay. Second question.
Yeah.
Was she trying to make a connecting flight?
No. Slash unclear.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so this happened to me. I was on a plane 2 weeks ago, and the flight attendant made the announcement. There are a handful of people in the back of the plane who have connecting flights. Mm-hmm. Can everybody just like chill for a second? This plane has been delayed so many times. Let's just let these people get off to make their connecting flights.
Sure.
And then everybody else will get their bags, right?
That's pretty common.
And I got so angry when some people ignored the flight attendant.
Oh, man.
It's like, are you ignoring on purpose? Did you just not hear? Do you not care about your fellow human?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it made me really angry. And there's so many things that make me angry when I fly.
Yeah.
Like, they probably shouldn't make me angry, but I get so mad.
I think flying is just, it's because everyone is stuck in a small space.
Yeah.
And that is where entitlement shines.
Oh, when somebody stuffs their winter coat into the luggage space above.
Yeah.
In the winter, when they've specifically asked you,
not,
hey, everybody's got a winter coat.
Yeah.
Can you just like keep it in your lap or put it underneath the seat in front of you
yep.
until everybody's luggage is in?
Yep.
And then there's always some guy.
Yep.
She's like, ah,
but I'm important.
But I'm important.
Yeah.
And puts his winter coat up there.
So, okay. So what do you think? Do you think that person was the asshole? In your true heart of hearts.
I think that what she did was probably fine.
Yeah.
As like she only had a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
She stood up and she made a beeline for it.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't blocking other people from getting their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If other people were too slow, you know.
Here's where I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
I think I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, right? I mean, I never travel with just a backpack.
No, I mean, my God, I have like steamer trunks.
Yeah, like I'm always trying to conceal how many bags I have with me.
Yeah.
And like, you know, fake them out.
Yeah, totally.
These are only two bags.
I think efficient Bethany would have thought, I'm just going to get up and get out of everyone's way.
Yeah.
But I think in this article, what, like she got called out by someone.
Yeah.
I can totally see being called out. And then I think I would have been absolutely mortified.
No, why? Like, I only have a backpack. You just tell them, I have diarrhea. What are they going to say to you?
I mean, okay, so this guy, the guy behind her, right, was like, have the rules changed? Is that what he said?
Something like that, yeah.
So I think if someone said that to me, the rules changed.
Like,
I think
I would say, pack lighter, a-hole.
I think I would have just said, you know what? I packed lightly as I'm trying to get out of everyone's way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, I had bad mahi-mahi last night.
Right, that's always the reason. If someone behind me was like, I have a connecting flight, I would absolutely have scooched out of the way and let them through.
Of course.
But I think, in theory, I want to call this person the asshole because I am all about like following the rules when you're in flight. But I think ultimately, I probably, if no one in front of me is ready.
Yeah.
And they're
ahead.
All kind of like looking around and the aisle is clear because no one is ready.
You snooze, you lose.
I think I would have just been like, I'm going to get up and get out.
That said, I think that I would much prefer if airlines called people to leave the plane like they do catering at big events.
Like table seven.
Table seven.
Uh-huh.
You may go up and get your food. Like row 12.
Yeah.
You may grab your luggage and leave.
I mean, that's how they board the plane.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They board it by sections.
I've never understood that. If they board it by sections... Yeah. Why don't they just de-board the plane by sections?
By sections. Like, look, if you pay a lot to get first class, you get to leave first.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's just how that goes you get the nicest things in life when you have a lot of money.
You're on first and then you're off first.
Yep. Because also, if a plane crashes, first class is like the most likely to go, you know?
Is that true?
I mean, I think so because like the front of the plane.
Oh, I thought the middle of the plane was like most protected.
Maybe the most protected, but I think first class is the most in danger.
Oh, well, I mean, their seats are, they're extra cushioned, so that could help with like a crash, you know?
If there's anything I've learned from the documentary, Yellow Jackets, it's that if your friend is actively on fire, you should still try to save them. So
Bethany.
That they don't hold a grudge later if they survive.
I've been watching this show on Apple TV called Dear Edward.
Okay.
I believe it's based off of a book. Anyway, I'm not giving away any spoilers. The whole premise is that a plane crashes.
So many plane crash shows.
A commercial flight from New York to LA. So
long.
A big plane.
Brutal.
One boy survives. He is the only survivor. And at the last second, he did rock, paper, scissors with his older brother to get the seat by the window.
Oh, no.
And it's about his survivor guilt and moving forward in a new life without any of his family members. It's really, really good. But he was in the middle in economy.
Yeah.
Sitting by a window. And he survived. Can you imagine? I don't know if I could live with myself. I mean, obviously I would live with myself, but I would think that I was chosen for a higher power. I would probably become religious.
You and I are so different because I think I would just walk into the ocean.
Really? You would be like, I was supposed to be dead.
I think, look, if God is God, you know, the sort of patriarchal, like, benevolent man in the sky that we kind of see him as.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he saves me for a higher purpose by this massive plane crash.
Yeah. If this happens to you tomorrow, what's your higher purpose now?
He's going to be to probably make people less embarrassed about their weird bodies.
I mean, that's kind of what we already do on this podcast.
Yeah. I just am picturing the plane going down, be the only one that survives.
Yeah.
And God looking down on me and going, higher purpose. And me going, peace, and walking into the ocean.
Oh my
God would be so mad at me. He would be so pissed. But I just don't think I would. That's just too much.
If God looked at me and said, higher purpose, I would say, okay, but I need some startup money.
Please, higher purpose, but drop some food.
You know, just can you please find an angel investor?
Literally.
For my idea for maxi pads that you put in your armpits.
And also, can I get off this island, please?
Well, the plane crashed in Colorado and Dear Edward.
Oh, so he was near people?
So he was near people.
Thank God.
So then he has to like reintegrate into society.
I was wondering how he was going to survive without his family in the wild.
Yeah, and and rescuers get to the scene and he's the only one. And I don't want to say more than that because it's a slow moving show, but it's a worthwhile show.
How old is Edward in this?
12.
Too young to be a soul survivor.
And he was a homeschool kid. So
I thought you were going to say, and he's a homosexual.
No,
and I was like, that doesn't seem to apply.
And he's a homeschool kid. And so now he's got to like go to public school and be the only survivor of this crazy plane crash. Crazy.
That's too much for young Edward. Does he do okay?
I mean, I'm on episode 9. He's okay so far.
Is it a depressing show?
It is.
Why do you watch these depressing shows?
Because I think sometimes I'm numb inside and I want to feel things.
Does it work?
Yeah, it does. Sometimes it does.
Oh, that's good. Were you a big fan of This Is Our Family or whatever
this
show is called?
This Is Us.
Yeah, did you watch that show?
Loved This Is Us.
It made you cry every week,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God. Parenthood.
Mm.
Loved Parenthood.
Mm.
The Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, God.
Loved that book.
When that movie came out,
yeah.
I did, in our old jobs, a lot of times, like, we would go to movie premieres,
yeah.
like for people who get to like have special screenings they won from the radio station or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
We introduce the movie. And I was there to introduce the movie and then I had to watch the movie. And the active sobbing I heard coming from all parts of the movie theater was something like I had never experienced before.
Yeah.
It was just like, like heaving. And it was a lot of teenagers, so big feelings.
I finished that book on a plane.
Oof.
And I was crying.
I mean, it is just double cancer.
And I wasn't crying because it was Spirit Airlines.
No. You're afraid for your life.
I was legitimately sad.
That book is... Kid has cancer meets kid who has cancer. It's two cancers. That's so much cancer.
So much sadness.
Sad.
But it makes you also appreciate your life.
When I was in middle school.
That's why my dad used to watch Maury.
Oh my God.
I'm not as fucked up as these people. Those words came out of his mouth anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. When I was like in middle school, I would read, there was this one author, I cannot remember her name, but she mostly wrote teen cancer books. So it was like, I think the book I read was I'm Too Young to Die.
Oh my God.
It was literally the book. And I was so depressed. I don't know why I was reading these books. I'm going to look this up to see who wrote this because maybe someone listening has also read these books. Die book. I remember my dad picking up the book at one point and going, goodness gracious.
I wrote a poem in fifth grade that was so dark that they did like a child welfare check at my house.
What?
Yeah. The teacher was like, is everything okay at home?
And they had book to, was it?
No. I just like, I wrote a poem that was about dying at the hand of a knife being stabbed into me over and over again. And there's like all of these analogies about the way that life stabs you like a knife. And my teachers are like, are you okay?
Why do you think you wrote that?
I'm over dramatic.
Yeah. Lorelene McDaniel. She has written other such books, such as The Angels Trilogy, Angels Watching Over Me, 6 Months to Live, the Dawn Rochelle series, Don't Die, My Love.
These all look like the covers of books that you see in the supermarket.
Totally. I'll Be Seeing You, Telling Christina Goodbye.
The Girl with the Broken Heart.
A Time to Die.
Lorelene.
The girl death left behind. Oh, here's Kathleen's story, Angels in Pink.
Oh, that's very on brand for me, actually.
Oh, my gosh. What happened to her?
6 months to live.
Baby Alicia is dying.
No, stop it. Bethany, what happened to this woman?
Let's look.
Laureline.
What's her deal, Laureline McDaniel?
Who hurt you?
I know. I'm just going to look up Laureline. Wait a second. Like something, she's got some trauma, right?
I mean, she has to. She's written over 50 young adult books.
She is well known for writing about young adults struggling with mortality and chronic illness, a career that began as a therapeutic way to deal with the trauma when her son, 3, was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes. There it is.
Okay, juvenile diabetes, though, wouldn't lead me into, like, yes, of course I'm writing books with titles called 6 Months to Live.
I mean,
kids with diabetes, even in the 80s, I'm assuming that's when her children were born, 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
It wasn't a terminal illness. They were going to live.
She says, to make her novels medically accurate, she interviews health professionals and works with various medical groups, including hospices. She also studies the Bible to help infuse her work with the human element. Wow.
That makes a lot of sense.
Laureline.
16 and dying. One last wish.
Oh, she's... Oh, my gosh.
No Time to Cry, the Dawn Rochelle series.
Okay, heart to heart. Let's see. Mother, Please Don't Die. Why did she have to die?
Sometimes you just have to feel the feels. Like, if you don't feel the feels as heavily as you feel the feels, Bethany, sometimes it's good to be reminded that you're alive.
Letting Go of Lisa.
Oh.
Now, here's a real YA novel. Where's the Horse for Me? Oh. You get both Horse Girls and Dying.
Oh, Horse Girls.
When Happily Ever After Ends.
Ooh, My Secret Boyfriend, Laureline McDaniel. Losing Gabriel, Laureline McDaniel.
Here's another horse book, A Horse for Mandy. Hit and Run, 16 and Dying, I think we've already read. Don't Die, Morning Song, Morning, M-O-U-R.
In 2014, Bethany, I'm surprised that you didn't write this this article. There's an article on Vulture all about Laureline McDaniel novels.
Really?
And, yeah, by someone named Margaret Lyons. And the title of this article is from June 4th, 2014, I Was Obsessed with YA Cancer Novels Long Before The Fault in Our Stars.
Yes, absolutely. That's what it is. Here's another one. Mother, Help Me Live. Maybe I already listed some of these.
I can't believe you read these, but I can picture teenage Bethany, like, you just internalizing these characters' sadnesses, totally. And then you being like, I'm an actress. It's the only way to get it out of my mind.
It is. It's a lot. You know what?
Yeah.
I think if you're feeling sad, maybe skip Laureline McDaniel. You know, maybe look for a Bill Waterston. Look for some Kelvin and Hobbes.
Or, like, I don't know, Chicken Soup for the Cat Lover's Soul.
There you go. Find yourself some whimsical musings, a collection of famous people writing down some funny thoughts they have about various topics.
Or just watch videos of babies eating lemons.
You know what? I saw a baby the other day drinking soup, and that boy loved it.
Oh, soup is the all-encompassing meal. Mm-hmm. Thanks for hanging out with us today, buds. You can follow me, Kathleen Heaney, at Kathleen Loves Color.
And me, Bethany Watson, at Ms. Bethany Watson. And you can follow this podcast. Just search Acquired Taste Podcast on all platforms.
But most importantly, check out our Facebook group. That is our coolest social media real estate.
Until next time, this is your reminder to take a deep breath. Stay weird
and stay curious.